Welcome back to episode 2 of Amanda K. Jones. This podcast is a collaborative effort between myself, Lisa Craven, from True Crime Corner, and Derek DeMassey from Missing Person Cases Network. This podcast will also appear on What's Happened, which features both Derek and we talk about cases that are similar to Chris Watts and specifically feature pregnant women that go missing. In this episode, our special guests are Bertha and Hugh, Amanda's parents. We are so honored to have them, and we start off by asking them to tell us a little bit about their daughter, Amanda.
She loved it being with her friends. She was the kind of person that if you needed something, she would try to help you with it.
So I assume that she was also a great mother as well.
Oh, wonderful mother. Hannah was her life. She didn't go anywhere without Hannah unless it was work, of course. Hannah and her were like the best buds. Okay. Hannah used to call her her angel.
I'm sure Hannah took it. Has not taken it very good, like you said earlier. She does, you know, she did do that one interview that I saw, but I'm sure she doesn't like speaking about it much.
No, she doesn't. Yeah. It upsets her too much. I mean, it's just a little bit too much for her. It's one, you know, she's missing her mother, and she misses her dad because her dad died 2 years later.
Right.
So it's hard for her to do things like that. I mean, it just kind of drains her and takes everything out of her for a few days. So. She said she preferred not to do the interview this time.
Right, and you know, I kind of figured that. But if she would, we would have had those questions. But so the last time you saw or spoke to her, do you remember? You know, obviously you must remember that. Well, what was that like?
To Amanda?
Yeah, the last time you spoke or saw her.
Sunday, the day she disappeared is on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. Right after church. We spoke to her that morning before we went to church. She called us and she told us she was going to be just a little bit, she may be a little bit late because she just got off the phone with Brian. Mm-hmm. He had called to make arrangements to meet with her that day.
It was him meeting her, not her meeting him.
Right. He's the one who initiated the meeting.
Right. So she had called him before and didn't want anything to... But he didn't answer, right? And that's how he called her back a week later, asking to meet up, correct?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
She had called him previously to speak about the child. This was way before. And then a week later, he then calls and tries to meet up with her. Not
correct.
Okay.
That's what we're understanding.
Right. That's how I thought it was too.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a week later, but I understand that she did try to contact him to let her know that the baby was about to be born and was going to give him a chance to have a relationship with the baby.
Okay. Had you remember her demeanor that day at church?
Oh my God, she was so happy. She was like on cloud 9 because, you know, the baby was about ready to be born. Mm-hmm. The day before, we had just went to the hospital and to tour the delivery room and all that, you know, where she would be. And she was on cloud 9. She was just so happy. I mean, even everybody at church knows how happy she was. And so she just, she was bubbly.
Right.
Very bubbly.
So, you had stated at 3 p.m. when she hadn't returned to pick up Hannah, you became concerned. Now, was this, either your maternal instinct or even a fatherly instinct that, you know, something was wrong? Because I know you had just said that you talked to her regularly. So, was 3 p.m. Like the cutoff time where you were like, you know, this is it, something's wrong?
Well, because when she left that morning, she told Hannah. She said, Hannah, Mommy will be back in a couple of hours. And Amanda never liked her, Hannah. If she said she was going to do something, she would do it. So that's why we got concerned. We didn't hear from her at 3 o'clock because we knew that she said a couple hours. And then we also knew she had she always went bowling on Sunday night.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got concerned at 3 o'clock and started trying to get a hold of her.
And how long after that was her car found?
It was that night.
Okay.
Yeah, it was probably, maybe 8:30.
Okay. And even before, so when did Carrie, is that how you pronounce her, your other daughter's name? Carrie?
Yes, Carrie.
When did she go to her house after 3, was that like shortly after 3 p.m.? Do you remember?
She probably started looking around for around 4 o'clock, I'm sure, because we were making all these calls and we couldn't get a hold of her.
Okay.
Carrie started going to her house and looking around neighborhoods and stuff.
So now this is important, something that we came across. We see a lot of conflicting reports that all was found was the receipt and the Dr. Pepper. But was her purse in the car too?
Okay, her purse, her cell phone, and her keys were gone. The only thing left in the car was the Dr. Pepper and a keychain that she had bought, a can of hairspray.
Right, so that indicates that. Okay.
The sounds and stuff like that.
And they haven't given you that back yet?
No, they've got it. They said it's evidence and they cannot release it to me.
So
can I just interject real quick? I find it interesting that they say it's evidence, but yet they don't suspect there's any criminal activity involved. Is that correct?
Correct. And they say there's foul play.
They do now? Okay.
Oh, they did that at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
They discovered there's missing persons in the beginning.
Okay. How quickly did they realize it was foul play? Because, you know, someone noticing that there's no cell phone, no purse, no keys, I think they should know right away that there's foul play.
Mm-hmm. It took them a few days because, well, first when we reported it, they said, well, it's going to, you know, wait, what is it, 24 to 36 hours before because of being an adult. And I told them, I said, she's pregnant. Well, then that's when the Hillsboro Police Department came out and took our statement and everything. As far as the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Bouyer at that time came to our house the next morning. He walked in my room door and he said, I think she just walked away. And I about lost it.
Now, that's the same sheriff's department that her that Brian Westfall's brother worked for, right?
No.
Oh, no, he worked for the state police. I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay. So the man that you just mentioned, that's not Doc Combs, right?
No. Sheriff Bouyer was the sheriff at that time, and now he's no longer the sheriff. It's Sheriff Dave Marshak now. Doc Combs was a cold case investigator, and he is no longer with the department.
Okay, and he was the original investigator?
No.
Okay.
The original investigator was Tommy Wright.
Okay, so this is, you know, this case seems like it's touched so many different hands. So that's also not, you know, helpful to you guys. That's not helpful to Amanda at all, having so many different people, because usually you need one person working that case so they know everything about it. But it looks like in 2005 is when the FBI joined.
I'm sorry?
2005, is that when the FBI joined in?
They asked the FBI, but the FBI didn't do anything at that time.
Okay, and it says here that there was a Dateline article that was published in 2018, and it says the FBI is still working with Doc Combs. Now, why would they still be working with him?
They were at that time. Doc Combs was still in the investigation. And why? Because Doc Combs and the FBI, Mike Richardson, was going over the case again, and they were doing several different interviews.
Okay. Because in that article, he had been retired at that point. That's why I found it kind of odd. Do you know what?
No, he wasn't retired. He didn't retire until 2018. He retired. They were
okay.
This was before he had retired.
So, Detective Poe also mentioned in a Nancy Grace interview that there were never any search warrants served in this case. Do you know why that is?
No, I do not know why that is.
I have an idea.
Oh.
I was told that Sheriff Bruyer and the perpetrator's mama is good friends.
Well, that would make sense.
There's something going on there that nobody's telling. There seems to be some connection of some sorts, because I followed the crime for a long time, and I've never seen nobody execute a search warrant, not a polygraph given, no evidence collected.
Correct.
Bizarre. And this was a woman weeks away from giving birth who has picture after picture of her and her daughter and just nothing but joy and happiness. There's no reason.
Right.
We agree. We agree. But we can get no answers when we ask questions. And now, do you have an attorney? I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you have an attorney that maybe is representing you? No, we do not. We have tried to get attorneys to help us, and nobody wants to take on the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. Interesting. And there's a new sheriff in town, correct?
Correct.
So the election is in how many years?
I'm not really sure.
What was the election?
I couldn't answer that. But how long does he stay here for another election?
At least 4 years.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, so there was a crew of 80 people that searched the Civic Center grounds, and they supposedly found nothing.
Yeah.
I have no clue if that's true or not, but that Civic Center grounds is huge.
Right, 5,300 square feet.
And if they did, they didn't go back in the back where there's a lot of woods in the back behind the Civic Center.
A lot of caves.
And caves and underground stuff.
But his property is even bigger than the Civic Center, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And that hasn't been searched at all.
They claim that they searched it. And how many hours did they say they got? I can't remember how many hours they said, but you can't search that much of a property. I think they said something like 6 hours or something like that.
Yes.
Is it Derek I'm talking to?
Yes.
I was in the military at that time.
Okay. Thank you for your service, by the way.
You're welcome. Bruyer would not let my unit go and search for my daughter. And the sheriff in the town where my daughter was residing, which was Beverly, they wouldn't even let the sheriff in that town do anything with the search. Said you might mess up the evidence.
But they never recovered.
Yeah.
Correct. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So Brian said that they met at 1 p.m., right?
That's the time they were supposed to meet, yes.
At the Civic Center. And that they went under the pavilion to talk about the baby for an hour. And then she had to use the bathroom. So
one of his stories.
Okay. And then he went and got the keys to, okay.
Yeah, that was one of his stories.
So, but in that story, he says that she then walked to her car and sat in there for 3 more hours. Is that true? Is that what he said?
That is what he says. But that, like I said, that
the car did not have air conditioning in that car did not work. So why would she be in a car for that?
Exactly.
On the telephone.
Right. Well,
the woman is much pregnant.
Minnesota was never open. I'm sorry. For Dr. Pepper she purchased, that was never open, correct? I have no idea. They never told us that.
Right.
I've been doing a lot of research, so all of the things I've found have been what the investigators have said on newscasts. And so some of these things are conflicting. That's why we're trying to clear it up. But that's
right.
What some of them have said. And then I had a question real quick about that, too. Were the windows up or down in her car when you found it?
Okay. Now, why I personally can't comprehend how the police can believe a story like that at all. And then once he changes his story, that's enough right there for a search warrant.
Well, he changed his story 3 times.
Okay.
three times. And at one point, when he called us, see, he called us at one point. And my husband got on the phone and told him, he said, Brian, if anything's happened to my daughter, I'm going to hold you responsible.
Okay.
Well, then the sheriff's department blames us for saying that.
Why?
What else would I say?
Right. He was the last person with her.
So now you're the victim, and it's your fault.
Yeah, they said that we should never have said that because then he clams up. So
is that when he went and got a lawyer?
Yes, he got a lawyer that night.
He got a lawyer that night. His girlfriend got a lawyer the next morning.
Did anybody even know he had a girlfriend?
They all knew it.
He still has a girlfriend.
Did you guys know that he had a girlfriend at the time this was going down initially or before?
We didn't even know him.
Right.
I have never met the man.
So then here he has a girlfriend that nobody obviously has met either. Why does he get a lawyer?
Because I think she's involved.
She's involved.
Okay. So it was like a setup.
They were boyfriend and girlfriend for 7 years when this happened, and they're still boyfriend and girlfriend.
I've actually read some things about her online, too, that she's not the most faithful girl. And they call some, I don't know if you guys have seen the article, but it's on a website about her. They haven't been gotten married yet?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
No, and I don't think they ever will because of the farm that his parents own.
Oh, okay. So they can keep it in his name and
let me say something a minute, guys.
Certainly.
Speaking about the farm, there was a statement made by his mother that's now been recanted that no bastard son will inherit my fortune. And what I think happened there, he said, okay, Mom, I'll take care of it.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Wow. So basically, his mom, in one way or another, said that child's not getting a cent of this farm, so you need to do something about it, basically.
Right.
He's a mom and boy.
And if he's so committed to that he won't even marry a longtime girlfriend that her common-law would be married by, he's obviously faithful to what his parents' wishes are for some reason.
Right. And they don't live together, his boyfriend and girlfriend.
I saw that. So
he lives on a farm, and she lives up in Hazelwood or something.
Well, this sounds so much like are you guys familiar with the Kelsey Barrett case?
No.
So that's on the news right now. It's national news. And they were actually engaged, but he had another girlfriend, and the thing is, the other girlfriend helped him kill Kelsey. Mm-hmm. And he also owned a huge farm. His mother seems the same way. His brother, also a cop. There's just so many similarities.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
It is crazy. That's a current case, too.
That's why I was going to try and garner awareness for this case, because so many people follow the Barrett case. And I believe if Amanda's case happened during the digital age, like right now, she would be getting the appropriate attention that she deserves. It's just not right. She was pregnant. No one should be murdered, period. No one should go missing, period. I'm not saying she was murdered.
Exactly.
We don't know. But it clearly, from what you've said and what I've read, that's what it looks like. And it's not right that no one talks about her. There's no attention. So another question we had was, so Brian was telling Amanda that she wasn't the baby's father. Now, was Amanda 100% sure? Because I know she had an ex-husband too, right?
Right, but they were not together.
Okay.
Her husband was previously remarried.
Okay.
They were not together. But yeah, Amanda was 100% sure. I mean, you know, she calculated everything when the baby would have been conceived. And
Right.
I mean, if you were told that you were a father of a baby, would you not want to have a DNA test?
Yeah, I would be happy to be honest, but
he didn't even ask for one,
right?
Because he knew.
He offered her money for an abortion. Now, if that child wasn't yours, would you offer money for an abortion?
No, you're right. That's a great point right there.
I have a question about DNA, and I know that we've kind of off this question. Sorry, here. A lot of cold cases are being cracked now with the genealogy of DNA. If there's a chance that Amanda or Hayden are alive, have you, either of you or Hannah, ever submitted to the Ancestry or 23andMe before? Because it'll actually come back with relatives.
Yes, we did submit our DNA.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be anonymous. Anonymous, is that how you pronounce it?
Anonymous, yes.
Yeah, we all did.
Oh, okay. I was just, I thought of that the other day, and just trying to help and find ways to get answers for you. And I thought, wow, maybe that would be something to try.
Now, have they ever told, sorry.
We submitted our DNA, and they also got Amanda's off of a hairbrush and toothbrush. So,
gotcha.
Okay, so law enforcement stated that the restaurant they were originally going to meet at, Off the Hook, showed no evidence that Brian or Amanda were ever there that day. Do you know if that, so they do have CCTV there?
Surveillance cameras?
Do they have surveillance?
Like, how did the authorities know for sure?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, I'm sure they did, because that's how they found out she wasn't there.
And that's when he must have had another story than the one I just explained earlier about the meeting at the pavilion.
Exactly. Like I said, there were three different stories he told. First, they met and went to lunch, and then they met and neither one of them was hungry, so they didn't go to lunch. And then they met and they talked, and he left, and she was sitting in her car. And when he came back at 5 o'clock, she was still in her car. There ain't no way.
Right.
The last one, he said he left her at 2 o'clock, came back at 5 o'clock, and she was still there sitting in the car. The
sheriff said that they couldn't find no fingerprints on that car. Well, that's a lie. There, I mean, because the friend of mine at church went to the car, got in and around, and looked around in the car. Then the sheriff said, well, maybe the rain washed it off. There was no rain that day or that night. And I said, it wouldn't have washed it off on the inside.
Right.
And fingerprints don't wash off from the rain.
Right. Exactly.
But they said they couldn't find any.
Wow. This is this leads to my next question, I guess, then, which is Detective Poe stated that we mentioned earlier that no polygraphs have been conducted. After 13 years, what are your thoughts on how this investigation has been handled?
Very poorly. I think it was handled very poor from the very beginning because they didn't take it seriously. They said that, you know, took it as if she just walked away. And they didn't do the investigations that they need to do from the beginning. I mean, come on. It took them 2 weeks before they even did a consent search where he said you can look here, but you can't look there.
Wow.
Type of thing.
What kind of search is that?
You can build a whole city in 2 weeks. I mean, come on.
Right.
You could have done anything in 2 weeks with her.
You know, 4 years after this happened, guys, 4 years after this happened, my wife's brother sent the sheriff's office an email asking, what are you doing? What have you found out? You know, is anybody helping? If it was your family, you'd have this thing already cleared up. They sent us an email back calling us ignorant and incompassionate.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got it in my bedroom.
We've got that email. We kept it.
I'm sorry. That's
and the one who called us, the one who said that is now our sheriff.
Oh my.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm. He was deputy sheriff when it happened. Now he's our sheriff. And the sheriff is what called us ignorant and incompassionate.
That's well, I terrible. Hope we're able to get you guys some exposure, but I also hope maybe somebody, because a lot of our followers are activists, attorneys, and they're always willing to help out. So I hope somebody sees this and takes the appropriate action, because you guys have been beyond failed.
Now, have
I hope it does too, because I know there's somebody out there who knows, but I think they're afraid to say anything.
Yeah, and it can be 100% anonymous. I keep stressing that there's no reason to identify who you are.
And where's the best place for people to submit tips? The FBI or the sheriff? The FBI, right?
The billboards we have has got the FBI's phone number on it.
Okay.
And that's what we've been pretty much plugging too, because I feel like after my research, they're probably a better avenue too.
I see. Lisa?
Yes.
There has been a lot of organizations and individuals come to our house, contact us, and said, we're going to find your daughter, but first we have to contact the sheriff's department. Once they contact the sheriff's department, we never hear from them again.
Wow. Wow.
Because they don't want anybody else involved. And I think the reason of that is because there's a cover up.
Now, has the sheriff.
Somebody's got something to hide, that's for sure.
Has the sheriff's department ever told you why they haven't just executed their own search warrant?
No.
They don't talk to
They said they don't have enough evidence.
That's not true.
They turn around and say they got evidence. So, you know, what is it? Do you have it or don't you?
So. That case I was talking about with Kelsey Barrett, they only had circumstantial evidence similar to this. And they went there with tractors. They went there 3 or 4 times. I mean, something is just not right.
Exactly. And they keep telling us that his lawyer won't let him do anything. As long as he's got a lawyer.
And it's the same lawyer he got since day one, correct?
Right. And the lawyer is the longtime family friend.
He's also a criminal defense attorney.
And she's got a lawyer too that she's had from day one.
Right, and this, and the guy involved with the Barrett investigation had a lawyer too, and they still went. So something else is going on there.
It's the sheriff's department's not cooperating or making this the case it needs to be.
There's corruption going on,
right?
And I believe that the sheriff, the original sheriff, knows what happened, and he's covering it up. I think it's either friends, money, or something is doing it.
Right, and isn't his lawyer just a very prominent person besides being a lawyer? Wasn't he in one of the administrations?
I don't know.
Lisa,
his partner for his law firm is.
Okay.
He used to be a mayor, or I'm sorry, the DA.
Oh.
So he partnered with the old DA Nixon is the guy's last name.
Oh, my goodness. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
So the corruption runs deep.
Yeah, I think it does. It really does. And it's hurting a family that don't deserve it because we don't. And I mean, well, no family deserves it. I shouldn't say that.
Right.
No family who's got a person missing or killed don't deserve that. But. I don't know. I just lost my train of thought.
We're being lied to.
Right. We're being lied to, and there's nothing we can do about it. They won't tell us anything. Anytime we ask anything, while it's still an investigation, we can't disclose anything. We can't discuss anything. I've asked for the ultrasound pictures because I'd like Hannah to see them. Well, we can't. It's evidence.
Now, how is that evidence, though? How is an ultrasound of a baby evidence? I don't understand.
Exactly. I said, he knows she had a baby. Come on.
And right. They can't even let you in to take like a picture of it with your cell phone or something and then put it back. I mean, you could take pictures at the Smithsonian for crying out loud.
Yeah. I've never asked that, but that's a good point.
I mean, just for her. Yeah. I guess I always try to get around the answer. No.
I mean, if you're not doing anything, give it to me. You know?
Exactly.
See, they said they did these searches and anything, but we have no proof that they did these searches.
Right.
We have no proof at all.
Right. Plus, the searches that they did were with only places he said they could search. And they only searched his vehicle from the outside, correct?
That's what we understand, yes.
It was a visual search.
Right. It's like you can look here, but you can't look there.
Right. So.
And I asked about, see, they've got septic tanks on the property. They have, what else do I say? I can't think of something. They have other things that you could hide something in and you wouldn't find it.
They've got a big block of concrete out back of their house that's the size of a grave. I'm thinking she's buried under that block of concrete. That's what I'm thinking.
And when I asked if they searched it, they said, well, they had cadaver dogs. Well, can cadaver dogs sniff through concrete like that? I don't know.
Well, plus he has backhoe, so he could dig so far down that.
Oh, yes.
that a cadaver dog couldn't smell.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't rely on a cadaver dog alone just for that, because he can be using other things to cover up the scent.
Cadaver dogs are not always accurate either, so.
They've got two or three septic tanks on that property. They could have her in there. And like I said, that block of concrete in the backyard that nothing is setting on is the size of a, this is an aerial view of, that I got of it. It's the size of a grave.
You know, when was that concrete put down? Do you know when that was?
No.
No, I don't.
But it's just odd to begin with, obviously.
Right, right.
Property on it, and it's just in the middle of this vast farmland they own.
Because,
I mean, they've got like 750 acres, was it, out there? Yeah, I added it up. I went on to their deeds, and it's over 1,500 million square feet. So when you think in terms of searching, you got to think square feet, because you got to cover inch by inch. So right. 15 million is enormous. And I know they didn't even cover probably 100. No.
Plus, they only covered what he said they could. So if he buried the body somewhere, he's not going to tell them they could search there.
Exactly. Right.
Don't you think that a case that went international and they're supposed to have searched this property, don't you think that would have been televised?
Absolutely.
Yes. I see searches of people missing now, and you have it televised on TV. I have seen nothing.
And that's why we want this to get back out there, because there's so many things about this case that are just, it should be open and shut 14 years ago.
Right. The only thing that they have a video on is Amanda coming out of the Walgreens, and that's it. And that one's found by a TV reporter.
So the sheriff's department didn't even actually go and ask for any of this footage of any of the cameras of any of the businesses.
No, not that I'm aware of.
That's a shame.
Do you think the Civic Center obviously had some type of video, right?
They claimed that the cameras weren't working that day.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I don't mean to laugh, but that is laughable.
Right. But Brian was working that day.
Brian was there that day, and he says that he let her in to use the bathroom. Well, according to the sheriff's department, that they, what is that spray they put on the bathroom to look for stuff?
Luminol?
He said they couldn't find anything.
Hmm.
I don't think she went in the bathroom.
Me right? either. So what is the third story he gave?
The third story was when he said that he left her at 2 and came back at 5 in her car.
Okay. So was he an employee or a volunteer of the Civic Center?
I don't know if he's employee or volunteer. I don't know. But he... from what I understand, he was there practically every day. His own uncle told us that.
He had keys to everything there at the Civic Center.
Yeah.
So he could control probably the cameras. Because a Civic Center, obviously it had cameras like you said, but they said for that one day they were just shut off.
They said it wasn't working.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, very strange.
So they had no video.
That's just more circumstantial evidence, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he had the means and the ways to commit the perfect murder, is my opinion, because he had his brother who was in the law enforcement, which could tell him what to do and how to do it. He knows the area, and he knows where he could do things.
There was also another statement, but see, he was a professor there at the college, and he got fired for sexual harassment. But there was also another statement made that about the time that Mandy disappeared, he gave a class on, I know how to commit the perfect murder and get away with it. That has not been recanted.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to hear. If any of our listeners have ever been in one of his classes, I would love to hear from one of them, because I have also seen, and I don't take what's on a blog necessarily as truth, but I've seen a lot of former students of his with accusations on his behavior being just questionable to begin with.
Where my wife used to work at this one bank, there at that time there was a teenager there. What'd you say, about 18, honey?
I think he's about 19.
He was about 18 or 19 years old, and he was apparently good friends with Brian's girlfriend,
Stephanie.
Stephanie, and he made the statement one day to somebody there at the bank, I think, that Stephanie came in saying something to him about complaining about my wife following her or seeing her or something. He said, well, what do you expect after what you did?
Wow. Wow. Now, how close was the farm?
No.
Sorry. Uh-huh. How close was the farm to the Civic Center?
Oh, yeah. How many miles do you think that is? Yeah.
But close enough for...
enough that he could get there within...
With the tractor, right?
10, 15 minutes at the most.
Would he be able to drive his tractor there?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Because... And he was spotted driving his tractor down 21 that time. Or a backhoe, I think it was.
He had the backhoe on the back of his truck.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm thinking that may be how he transported the body. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So you guys took the responsibility to raise your granddaughter, Hannah. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you? Because does having her around help because she's so much like her mother?
Oh, yes. It really does help. I don't know how I could have made it without her, actually, because before we took her, I was basically a basket case.
Right, because she was with her father before, right?
When she was with her father for 2 years, you guys were without her. And then when she came, it was like Amanda's part of your life again in a way, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I read an article where she picked out a similar prom dress to her mom and mm-hmm. has the same likes and characteristics and even the same laugh.
She does. She does.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some things that she's not like her mom, but when she laughs, it just brings back Amanda because she sounds just like her.
That's why I said sometimes she sounds call her Mandy because she looks, you know, it's Mandy there again, you know.
Well, that's good. And I bet that's been a really key point in both of your situation and Hannah's too, maybe having her mother's parents raising her in the same childhood home she was in, the same atmosphere and same everything. Kind of feels like maybe she's still there.
What was the question on?
That I said I think it helps Hannah too because she has the same atmosphere that her mother was in and she's being raised by her mother's parents, so she has a part of her mom with her too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Amanda, excuse me, Hannah actually has one wall in her room that is dedicated to her mom and dad.
Oh, wow. So,
It's been hard on her. I mean, you know, to have her mom gone the way she is, not knowing anything, and then
right.
to have her dad leave her 2 years later, I mean, it's been hard on her, but she has really blossomed, and she's trying to live her life because she says she knows that's what her mom and dad would want her to do.
She's an amazing young girl because
yes.
she's lost a lot in her little lifetime, but she has you two, which is a great thing too. So I think you guys are a great dynamic, and whenever I read anything about this case, that's the one positive thing I find in it, mm-hmm. is you have each other.
Right. And she relies a lot on God. Her faith means a lot to her too.
That's good.
It seemed like Amanda had a good faith too.
She did. Amanda was very faithful. I mean, she knew she made a mistake with Brian.
Right.
And but she made right with that, you know, with God and all. And she was very faithful going to church, bringing Hannah to church. And she just wanted to live her life with her kids, you know.
Now, what would you like to see happen in the investigation? Like, let's say the FBI stepped in and finally did something. What could they do?
An investigation.
Yeah,
right.
An actual investigation. I want to see something done. I mean, instead of just sitting at your desk and waiting for a phone call to come in.
That comes from my granddaughter's mouth.
Yeah,
also.
Hannah said that herself.
Okay.
She made her remark one time. She said, this was so funny. It's been several years back. We were in a grocery store and Sheriff Junior was in there. And he came up to her and he said,
I'm the man who's looking for your mommy. And she goes, well, if you're looking for my mommy, what are you doing in here?
That's what she said.
Good girl. So, I love her.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they need to get off the ropes and do something.
Right. An investigation doesn't come to you. You find it.
Right.
You find it.
Go out and find it. But then they always say, well, we can't do anything because of Brian's lawyer. He won't let us do anything. Well, my goodness, is the lawyer God? Is he president? Is he, you know? Why did
he shouldn't be untouchable. He shouldn't be untouchable. I don't understand that. I'm personally not a lawyer, but like I said, in all of my following and investigating of true crime, I've never seen anyone other than Johnny Cochran have this much power.
This much pull, yeah, power. You got it. Right.
But there's the good old boy system in play right now, which is really bad. I live in a big city, so I never really understood what the good old boy system was.
Yeah,
but
we're in New York.
Well, you get these little towns,
and this sheriff's department has always been corrupted. The sheriff before him, If you check it, it's all been corrupted.
They just keep it in the family.
Exactly.
I find so a lot of the small cases, like in small towns, the sheriff's department is always corrupt. And I believe it's because you have to vote for the sheriff. You shouldn't have to vote for the head law enforcement person. It should be on on their credentials. And it's terrible. It's terrible. So what can the local community do to help you guys find your daughter and grandson?
Help search.
Help search. Well, where can...
Well,
the problem is... Okay.
You know, tell what you know. Is there somebody? There's somebody that knows something. There is.
Sheriff Julia was a very threatening individual.
Mm-hmm.
He even threatened us there in a meeting one day. He was about ready to pop stuff up one day in the office.
He was asking questions.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. But, you know, like you said, that's what you deal with in a small town.
Well,
but you would think, wouldn't they want to find a missing person?
Well, not so that's another thing that one thing that I found that bothered me was his brother being in law enforcement because they always look out for one another. And I think that's why a lot of people have stayed silent because a lot of them may not want to come forward for fear of repercussions against them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, his brother has since passed away.
Right.
And I don't know if you've read any stories on his brother, but he lied in court on one case that he was on.
Yep.
And he got a kid away for murdering his grandmother when he didn't even do it. Mm-hmm.
For 15 years.
So see, that's what we have to deal with.
It's not on TV or anything, and I've never even tried to mention the word God, they shut me off.
Well, this we want.
They don't let me have, you know, and I've even forgot times that I've said, you know, I've talked on radio stations. There's a KJFF radio station down here. They've let me say my piece. They have let me say my piece, but the TV stations won't.
That's not right. You should be able to say.
What he's saying is when they do interviews, they'll listen to us, but then when they go and put it on the air, they always cut everything out, especially if we say anything against the sheriff's department. You know,
oh no! This
don't like the investigation.
It's the beauty of podcasts. We are not going to edit anything out except anything that might sound silly if it's the beginning or the end.
Right.
Yeah.
They'll hear everything. Okay. So we already put out the first part. So this will be next week, and we'll go into the corruption and why we believe there's corruption and things like that, because that's what the problem is. It's the corruption.
It is corruption.
We've been saying that for a long time.
They never tell us anything, you know. And they say they'll come. They in the past they'd come by, Combs would come by, and maybe somebody else would come by, you know. Well, don't ask me any questions. I can't give you any answers. Well, then why'd you come by for?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Because they want to make the appearance that they're doing something by going by.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Well, I do want to tell you one thing. It's been about 2 or 3 years ago. Doc Holmes and the FBI, Michael Christensen, took Hannah back out to the Civic Center because Hannah remembers the day that Brian and Amanda and her met one day.
Okay.
And they took her out to the Civic Center, and everything she remembered was true because there was a person out there who still works there that worked there when Amanda disappeared and said that the way Hannah described everything was exactly the way it was.
The day that he offered money for an abortion, mm-hmm. she remembers that day explicitly.
And she was only 4 years old. Right.
Wow. Wow.
Just, I mean, wouldn't that tell you something?
Right. You would think, okay. And has anyone ever questioned Hannah?
Yeah, she's been questioned. Yeah.
Okay. I was
by Doc Holmes, I think. That was the only time she was questioned. She wasn't questioned at the beginning of everything because her dad wouldn't let her do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, true.
So the day they brought her out to the Civic Center, was that when the FBI really got involved?
Well, that's when the FBI and Doc Holmes was sort of, I guess, trying to reopen everything and revisiting everything.
Okay. And that's all they did?
Well, I don't know what else they did. I know they went and talked to different people. And
you
know,
right, but there's been no searches at his property.
No, they didn't do any searches, no.
Derek, no. The sheriff's office has yet to talk to my daughter's best friend.
Wow.
Yeah.
What
she
about...
has never been questioned.
And that best friend even stayed at my daughter's house for 2 weeks just prior to her disappearance. But yet, as of yet, they have not talked to that lady.
Wow. I sure hope they spoke with her sister-in-law, right?
Yes, they did.
So there was something significant about that, the 8 minutes. Have you guys ever kind of figured out what that might have been? Do you think that she was with Brian when she was on the phone with the sister-in-law? Yeah.
Right, she was, and she kept saying eight, it's an eight. I think she was trying to give a clue, because at that time at the Civic Center, the gates that the people would enter in for their different showings and stuff had numbers on them.
Oh.
And so we're trying to think if maybe it was gate eight that he was taking her through, or that they were going through or something. Or was she trying to say there was an eight somewhere else, like a number eight on a highway or a, I don't know. I still think that eight is some kind of a clue.
I looked into that myself because I thought the same thing. And I did a Google map image drive by drive, foot by foot on the drive from the Civic Center to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And right off of Highway 21 is Road B, which is Hillsborough Road, but they call it B.
Right.
I was thinking maybe she was thinking that was an eight. I know she's from the area, but maybe he knocked her in the head and she mm-hmm. was disoriented. Because didn't Rhonda also say she was very abrupt and not like herself?
Exactly. And that was not Amanda. She was never abrupt with anybody. And you said Highway B. Well, see, you've got to take B
to get to Brian's house. Right. Yes. And so that's why I'm thinking where the significant might be, because my husband had a brain injury, and the confusion that happened was similar to what I can say, maybe the eight and the B. Maybe she kept saying it because she knew in her head, that's not an eight, it's a B.
Right. And that I've never thought of that, but that's a scenario too. But I still think that phone call is very important.
After that initial phone call at 1 o'clock, there was nothing. And she said he was still on the phone and everything. That's a lie, because phone records prove that there was never no phone calls. Phone records proved that there was no other calls, not for no 3 hours anyway.
Right.
And back then they couldn't ping cell phones, right?
I'm sorry?
They couldn't ping cell phones back then, could they?
Yeah, they could.
To get locations?
Yeah. Right, but they said her phone must have been off.
Oh, wow. So after that phone call, it all of a sudden went dead silent.
Right.
Were they ever able to determine where she was when that call was received?
They never said.
Because that's something I wonder if they were able to do. You know,
that's important.
Yeah.
You know, I asked him one day, you know, they got these satellites up in the sky, you know. And I said, well, can't you get that tape that the that day the what the satellite was taking. They said there's no satellite up in the sky. I thought people were watching their TVs.
Right. So if they were able to ping our phone, they know pretty close. I know nowadays you can get, like, basically the location of the person, right. But they could have got a general and the that's troubling too. There's so many.
Yeah, I would think they should be able to ping the tower that was coming from.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's probably more information that they have. They just don't want to give you, but
right.
I was just hoping that the FBI, being its own organization, would have done more, you know, would have executed those search warrants.
They told us that in a small town like this, when the FBI steps in, at their request, that the small town sheriff has the
all authority.
Well,
actually, the FBI is just assisting. They're not actually doing their own. They're just assisting the sheriff's department.
So, but the sheriff's department asked them to come in, though? They actually did?
At one point, yes.
Oh, wow.
But they can only do what the sheriff's department will let them do.
Right. That would...
And that's what the FBI told us.
Yes, that's how it usually is. Mm-hmm. But if, especially with small towns, if the small town sheriff is not really cooperating much, the FBI has, like you said, has no authority anyways. That right. kind of is like all for show.
Exactly. Right, exactly. You got it. Exactly. You got it. All for sure. And I think that they're hiding the, I think the sheriff's department is also hiding behind the law.
Right. By saying, oh, you can't see this. And
right.
There was one officer in the sheriff's department that wanted to do a certain search for my daughter. And the sheriff said no. And that officer quit the
department.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's been a lot of detectives leave and new ones come on. And
there's one officer down there in the sheriff's department now, we understand, that now they're supposed to be looking for my daughter, right?
Right.
Okay. This officer's been there for, was it 6 months or 6 years? Six years. And he said, I never knew anything about Amanda Jones.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They took down her picture on missing persons and everything else. He told the person that asked her. He said, I've been here for 6 years and I didn't even know anything about Amanda Jones until today.
That's not right. The biggest thing, to me at least, is that they wouldn't execute a search warrant on that property. Yes, it's a big property to cover, but in that other case I was talking about, right now they're searching in the landfill. You know what I mean? They're searching... Okay. Everywhere. Yeah.
And they should.
And there's so much around there that they can search. I mean, it butts up against Big River. And there's a rock quarry. And then you got the Civic Center that's got so much land back behind it. That's rugged. I mean,
I just think personally that with his equipment, that, you know, if he did something to her, she's on his property, because to him, that's his safe place. Mm-hmm. And it would make sense, like your husband said, that marking is where she is, because he wants to make sure he knows where she is, so he doesn't dig up or do, you know what I mean? So
I believe she's under that concrete pad in the backyard.
That's definitely a very, I believe that too. Now that you told me that, because he could have dug down, who knows how far?
I mean, if you do a Google. Like those Google search things, you can see it. The earth things.
You can see the concrete?
You can see that.
Yeah, I have it. I have it, Derek. It's on our first video. Actually, you guys pointed that out. I didn't know, because he has so much property, what exactly was his, but I'm pulling it back up now that I'm at my desk and I'm searching for that piece of concrete, because that just makes my heart sink.
Now, did you...
The big house.
Okay.
Did you tell the FBI about that piece of cement?
Yeah, but they haven't even... I've tried contacting him. He hasn't even... He don't answer my emails or anything anymore.
They don't talk to us.
The sheriff's department don't answer my emails. Or when the new detective came on, this detective Brian Taylor, He came on several months ago, and I said to him, I said, well, we need to meet. Oh, yes, we're going to do that, but let me get settled in first. Well, this was way before Christmas. And then his next thing was, well, I got married, and I was on my honeymoon.
I saw that.
Well, you're back now, so still.
Right, he's the same one that called you guys incompassionate, though, didn't he?
I don't know.
It's the new sheriff.
That's the sheriff.
Okay.
He called us that when he was deputy sheriff.
Okay.
I'm talking about the new detective.
Oh, the new detective. All right. Well, he's going by the orders of his sheriff.
Right,
so
exactly.
No doubt, yeah.
The new sheriff is his boss, so he's got to do what he tells him.
Right, so now.
And the new boss was corrupt when he was with the old boss.
Yeah, the new sheriff and I have had many words throughout the years.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't blame you.
He was even sheriff. We had many words. Since he became sheriff, I have not talked to him. He has not contacted us. You would think that once he became the sheriff that he would at least contact us and say that he's the new sheriff, he's on the case, and blah, blah, blah. He has not.
Now,
I back to them being the good friends with the perpetrator and the perpetrator's mother, and they were all in cahoots together down there.
Right, because they seem like they own all that property, so they must be prominent in town.
They are.
To become the sheriff, you need the votes, you need money. Mm-hmm. So
they got the money.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so
they got the money, right?
It's going
to
be.
That's why you can't get a decent person in the sheriff's office because they had all the money already tied up.
Right. Now, how many people go missing in that county? Not many, right?
We've got I think there's, what is it, four people missing?
I can't keep up with them.
In Jefferson County, this area, there's four people missing.
But it's not like the workforce, you know, not like they have so much work that they can't investigate Amanda's case.
Exactly.
You would think,
I mean, every time you try to ask them anything, well, we've been busy on this or we've been busy on that. I don't think so.
Right, I can't imagine much crime in that area.
Right. They may be busy hunting down druggies.
Right, or catching speeders, but.
Yeah, but come on. Yeah.
It goes right back to being dirt.
I think they know. They know exactly what happened, and they don't want nobody to find out.
Right back to crime.
Right, because I don't think that those cameras weren't working that day. I think that maybe he either deleted the tape or.
Exactly. I agree with you.
And that right there alone, you can go and look and see when the cameras were working. And if it's every other day than that and he was working that day, that's why I'm wondering, he had to have access to those cameras.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Because.
Yeah, he had keys to everything.
Right, so he could have went in there anyways. And another thing is, if he was a professor, what's he doing working at a civic center selling drinks?
Because he got fired from this.
Sexual harassment. Following girls home after work or after school. He was following girls home and he got fired for it, but they called it sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so he's a creep too.
Yeah, he's a creep.
Always a creep. That. Now he's working for an insurance place.
Wow. And then he has all that money and power backing him with his family. This case. I had heard about this case around December. So there are a lot of people that messaged me about it. So there is some awareness around it now.
Oh yeah. Yes.
I know there was the Crime Watch Daily, but that was what, in 2016?
Right.
Did you see any of that, sir?
Yes. I put it up on our first. I made a video.
He couldn't wait to get away from that investigator because, I mean, he even took part of the fence with him and part of the gate to get away from him.
Well,
now what's that?
That's the same way that the guy in the Kelsey Barrett case was acting.
Yep.
Exactly the same. You have to watch it because it's the same thing. This case is like identical.
The parents came out, and when the reporter confronted them, he actually said, well, you know, don't you want to help find answers? Don't you want your son to get his side of the story? They laughed. Yeah.
Exactly,
and walked away.
Mother did. Mm-hmm. Brian's mother actually laughed at us. Like,
yeah,
we know.
And it's from the entitlement of being so wealthy for so many years.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're thinking they're untouchable because they have limited searches and lawyers.
And that's and how I know that they can go there and search, because they did it in this case. So, mm-hmm. And that town is the exact, probably more corrupt than what you're explaining to me.
So how do we do this, Derek? What do we do?
That's what I want to try and help find you guys.
The resources. Awareness. So
we're going to reach out to as many people as we can. Like I said, our followers are usually into these situations because of their backgrounds. So hopefully somebody that's an attorney that's willing to step up to Brian's attorney and say,
well, I can tell you how it worked in Kelsey's case. What happened was there was so much awareness on the internet. The news started caring about it. And once the news gets involved, that's when the cops have to start doing something. Because that's a little town in Colorado. And she was missing a little while, and then it started gaining more and more traction, more and more traction, more and more traction.
Did they find her?
They didn't find her yet, but there's the guy got charged with murder, and the one that helped spilled the beans, so.
Yeah, his mistress eventually went in for questioning. She lied to him 3 different times, but on her 3rd statement, basically confessed to cleaning up for 4 hours a crime scene. So without seeing anything, they knew basically it happened. They declared her dead.
And you have Brian, in this case, lying 3 times. Three different stories. I mean,
at least 3.
So.
Well, and I think that's the reason him and Stephanie are still together, because if they would break up, I think she would spill the beans.
Well, and that's the beauty of cold cases, if you watch them, is relationships don't last forever, and neither do promises and the feelings you had for one another. So our hope is that the pressure and the press and the exposure of this will get somebody involved to change their mind. I hope so, too. And it broke my heart when I saw your interview and you said that, because that's devastating.
Well, I'll tell you, since this all happened, it has really taken a toll on both of our health. We have dealt with several health issues since all this, and I think a lot of it's because of the stress and the depression and everything you go through when you have a loved one missing and you have no answers. My heart is that the unknown is worse than death.
Right.
If she would have gotten killed in a car accident or something, I think we could have overcame. We could have moved on. We can't move on not knowing what happened to her or where she's at.
You know, I hear that all the time.
If she is dead, I'd like to put her to rest.
That's what everyone says. Anyone I speak to, all the parents I speak to of missing loved ones, the pain that they describe is, they say it's way worse than death, because you can't even grieve.
Exactly.
Because you know, you don't know. She could be out there. I mean, most likely she's not, but you don't know what happened. You don't know if, I'm sure you have.
Hannah, we asked Hannah once if she thinks her mom is alive, and Hannah said
no. We were talking one time, and Hannah said something, and he got real quiet, and I said, Hannah, I said, do you believe that your mom is dead? And she paused a minute, and she said, yes, I do.
Oh. That's so sad.
It's easier to believe that your daughter is dead rather than being held against her will someplace.
I can understand that. But I don't know what it feels like, but I see the logic in that, because it's more peaceful to think she's at rest than out there worrying about her.
Right.
But I think your relationship with God helps with that, too, because you obviously...
Exactly.
For a long time after this happened, I've been driving down the highway or something, and I'd hear somebody call a band, or I'd see a blonde-headed person in the car past me. You know, a lot of times I would cry, you know, but I had to keep driving. But
you'd look far, and if you seen a van or something, you would think, "Oh my God, is she in that van?"
Right.
You know, or it's indescribable of the things that you think of, and that you. I still find sometimes I'll look around and wonder where she's at.
Somebody hollered the name Mandy the other day, and we were someplace, and boy, it was just like a bullet, you know?
Right. Well, I'm sure, you know, if she has passed, you know, that she sends you guys signs, because I believe in that, because my dad passed recently, and I know when I don't know, like, it's indescribable, like you said, but it's just like signs where you just know that that person is there or saying something to you, if you know what I mean.
Right, I understand.
I mean, I'm sure it's much more difficult, though, when it's your daughter and she's just still missing.
Well, you know, I don't remember if it was how long it was after she disappeared, but I had a dream, and it was just as vivid as if she was standing in front of me, and she said to me, "Mom, I'm okay.
Oh.
Just take care of Hannah."
Wow.
And we didn't have Hannah at that time.
Oh.
She was with her dad. But I can still see her standing there saying that.
That must have made you feel some relief, too.
Well, I'm sure she's happy with the job that you guys are doing with Hannah.
I hope so.
And she is. Yeah. She's very, because Hannah has turned out to be amazing. I see she's on the dance team. She wants to be a pediatric nurse. That's, you know.
She has goals. She does have goals. And she doesn't have anybody to say, you know, she can't say, "Well, I want my mom and dad to be proud of me," because they're not here.
Right, but it's like you guys are.
That's what she's thinking.
Right. And she's got you too.
Mm-hmm. Right, so is there anything else you guys want to say before we end this interview?
Just that, please, if there's someone out there that has any answers, please come forward. I mean, just like you said, make it anonymous.
I've gotten on my interviews, I said, "We don't want revenge. We just want answers."
Right.
And that's true. That's true.
I just want to bring her home and give her a proper burial.
Right.
If she's dead, that's what I want to do.
And you deserve that. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Oh, do you have anything to say, Lisa?
No, I was just going to say thank you both so much for your time. I'm sorry this brought up some emotions, and I found myself trying to, and I can't imagine what it feels like, but our goal is to help you the best we can and by spreading the awareness.
Well, we appreciate it.
If you have any information on the whereabouts of Amanda K. Jones and baby Hayden, please contact the FBI at fbi.tips.gov. You can remain 100% anonymous. Thank you so much for listening.